Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
From the United Nations Climate Summit negotiations in Copenhagen, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. Outside the convention hall, thousands were arrested throughout 2 weeks of intensive down-to-the-wire negotiations. Inside, things weren't quite as contentious, but the frustration was palpable. During the final official day, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon pleaded with the more than 130 heads of state and government who came here to seal a deal.
The finishing line is in sight. Our discussions are bearing fruit. Never has the world united on such a scale. The world's leaders are all together here. Every sector of society is mobilized, faith groups, CEOs, NGOs, and individual citizens. The world is watching. We are closer than ever to the world's first truly global agreement to limit and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Just hours remain to close these final gaps. You have achieved much already. If we are to meet the climate change challenge, we must act as United Nations. Now is your moment. We are united in purpose. Now it is time for us to be united in action, common action. I implore you to seize this opportunity.
President Obama flew to Copenhagen amid great expectations he could break the deadlock. In the end, he did. And he didn't. After hours of closed-door negotiations with China, India, South Africa, Brazil, and the leadership of the African nations, President Obama announced a deal.
Today we've made meaningful and unprecedented, made a meaningful and unprecedented breakthrough here in Copenhagen. For the first time in history, all major economies have come together to accept their responsibility to take action to confront the threat of climate change.
The Obama deal would limit global warming to 2 degrees centigrade. It pledges $100 billion a year in aid to help developing nations face the threats and consequences of climate change. And countries would open their doors to the verification of their global warming emissions.
Taken together, these actions will help us begin to meet our responsibilities to leave our children and our grandchildren a cleaner and safer planet. Now, this progress did not come easily, and we know that this progress alone is not enough. Going forward, we're going to have to build on the momentum that we've established here in Copenhagen to ensure that international action to significantly reduce emissions is sustained and sufficient over time. We've come a long way, but we have much further to go.
The long journey began with the first step by China, finally agreeing to scrutiny of its promise to limit emissions. Chinese Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs He Yitai spoke on behalf of Premier Wen Jiabao.
Action speaks louder than declarations. To increase mutual trust, extremely important. We should not go for suspicion. We should not go for confrontation. We should go for cooperation. The action, mitigation action we have set for China will be fully guaranteed legally, domestically. And we promised to make our actions transparent. And we promise the implementation of these actions will be under the supervision monitoring of the law and by the media.
Asked about the failure to get a legally binding deal, President Obama said they don't necessarily offer guarantees.
Kyoto was legally binding, and everybody still fell short anyway. And so I think that it's important for us, instead of setting up a bunch of goals that end up just being words on a page and are not met, that we get moving. Everybody's taking as aggressive a set of actions as they can, that there is a sense of mutual obligation and information sharing so that people can see who's serious and who's not, that we strive for more binding agreements over time, and that we just keep moving forward. That's been the main goal that I tried to pursue today.
The deal brokered by President Obama formed the core of what's become known as the Copenhagen Accord, but it squeaked by the UN conference with the barest of approval. It allows the climate process to keep moving, but it did not settle perhaps the most contentious issue, what happens now to the Kyoto Protocol. Officially, Kyoto continues, but its first commitment period setting emission limits for industrial nations ends in 2012. Copenhagen was supposed to settle the issue, but now the decision has been put off. Kevin Knobloch, president of the Union of Concerned Scientists, came to Copenhagen to follow the negotiations.
It's not entirely clear what this deal means. It needs to play through a bit more. On its surface, this deal means that the largest greenhouse gas polluting countries and economies in the world have, for the first time, stepped up, held hands, and made a commitment that they will be part of an international effort to deeply reduce greenhouse gas emissions over the next 40 years.
Some people said the UN process broke down in Copenhagen. How true is that?
I think the UN process did break down. And after 2 weeks of intensive negotiation, following on 2 years since the Bali Mandate of intensive negotiation, the elaborate process proved to be too much. Such that when over 100 heads of state flew to Copenhagen late in the second week, the negotiating delegates were unable to present them a clear negotiated text from which they could that they could bring over the finish line.
With the U.S. getting together with China, India, South Africa, Brazil, who loses?
Well, if this plays out as we deeply hope it will, the fossil fuel industry loses. You know, the fossil fuel industry has been unconscionable in pouring multiple millions of dollars and probably billions of dollars into stretching out the time in which we will reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. And that's costly time we will never get back again. We know we have this narrow window to get the policies in place to deeply reduce these emissions. And every year counts now, every month counts now, and to see the Exxon Mobils of the world, the American Petroleum Institute, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, throw their back into trying to thwart this international agreement and domestic U.S. policy, as I say, is irredeemable. And so I think if this works, if we've seen it literally in the last couple of months, China put a greenhouse gas intensity reduction target on the table. India, for the first time, say it is going to put national targets on the table. And, of course, the U.S., the president bringing the 17% by 2020 and the 80% by 2050 target to these talks. If we can translate that into a legally binding treaty by Bonn in 6 months or Mexico City by the end of the year at the longest, the fossil fuel industry will have lost their bet.
Let's talk about domestic politics for a moment here. What does this deal in Copenhagen mean for the 60 votes that President Obama is looking for in the Senate on the domestic climate change cap-and-trade bill?
To get to 60 votes on cap-and-trade in the Senate, we really have to convince those swing senators, the fence-sitting senators, on a couple counts. One is China going to eat our economic lunch? Are they going to grow their economy rapidly while ours might be constrained in a carbon-constrained world? That's a big one, competitiveness in that respect. And will it hurt the U.S. economy? And I think what this agreement will do is provide some assurance. Obviously, the details have to be nailed down. It'll provide some assurance that, in fact, those economies will be in a carbon-constrained world as ours is. The other key thing that's so clear that is not fully understood, I think, in the U.S. and particularly in the Congress, is that China is well on its way to transforming its economy into a clean energy economy. We're wringing our hands back home while China's on the march. They have a national renewable electricity standard. We don't yet. They have national vehicle fuel economy standards that are more stringent than our own recently strengthened ones. China is committed and on its way to building a bullet train network across their nation. Yes, they're building coal plants, but the coal plants that they're building are state-of-the-art efficient plants replacing really highly polluting plants. The point is, once we pass national legislation and the president signs it, it will now be the policy of the land to transform our economy into a clean energy economy. And I think we will see an economic growth and an economic explosion unlike anything we've seen in the last century.
Kevin Knobloch is president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you so much, sir.
You're very welcome, Steve. Thank you so much.
Among the many VVIPs who came to Copenhagen was California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He sounded an upbeat note, even as it became clear the Copenhagen Accord would not be the legally binding deal the UN had hoped for.
Now, if this conference does not get the strong agreement, some would say that Copenhagen has failed. No, ladies and gentlemen, this conference is automatically and already a success. Kyoto brought the world's focus to what must be done. It brought the focus to that whole subject. We didn't know then what we know now. We didn't have as much experience with the science that we would research or the hurdles that we would face. But Kyoto made us think differently about the world. And perhaps the real success of Copenhagen is to give us the opportunity to think differently again. Perhaps the success comes in realizing that something different needs to be done and, in fact, is already being done. It's being done on a sub-national level. And I would ask the UN to convene a climate summit like Copenhagen, but for cities, for states, for provinces, and for regions. And I will be more than happy to host such a summit in California, or anywhere else the UN wants to hold it, but I recommend strongly in California.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. The next UN climate conference will be held next year in Mexico City. But in one sense, it has already moved there. In an unusual move, the Danish government stepped down early as head of the process, and now it's Mexico's turn. Just ahead, climate negotiations and the money tree. Keep listening to Living on Earth.